You're listening to a podcast from Cancer.net. This cancer information website is produced by the American Society of Clinical Oncology, known as ASCO, the world's leading professional organization for doctors that care for people with cancer. In today's podcast, Dr. Richard Schilsky, an oncologist and the chief medical officer of ASCO, provides an overview of ASCO's second top five list in oncology, issued in October 2013. This is a list of five common practices in cancer care that are not supported by evidence and that should be questioned before use. This is the second list created as part of ASCO's participation in the American Board of Internal Medicine Foundation's Choosing Wisely campaign. The goal is to improve the value of each patient's medical care, meaning that patients receive the tests, procedures, and treatments that are most likely to improve their lives without overburdening them with unnecessary costs. Cancer.net would like to thank Dr. Schilsky for discussing what the five items on this list mean for people diagnosed with cancer.
This is Dr. Richard Schilsky. I'm a medical oncologist and the chief medical officer of the American Society of Clinical Oncology. And I'm very pleased to have an opportunity to talk with you today about ASCO's latest contribution to the Choosing Wisely campaign. As you may know, the Choosing Wisely campaign is a national program originated by the American Board of Internal Medicine Foundation, in which many professional societies participate, with the goal of advising physicians and patients about how to optimize and add value to medical care by eliminating unnecessary tests, practices, and procedures that are costly, risky, and don't provide a good value to patients. Last year, ASCO identified five procedures being done widely in oncology that we felt could be eliminated or used more selectively. And this year, another group of ASCO experts came up with another list of five tests, procedures, or treatments that we also feel may not be strongly evidence-based, at least in some clinical circumstances. Overall, this year's top five list really addresses how to optimize the treatment for cancer patients by making sure that the treatment that they receive is well-suited to the clinical problems that they are having, and also to ensure that tests and procedures that don't provide meaningful clinical information are not undertaken because they introduce risks and cost and don't really do much to change patient outcomes. So with that sort of general overview, let me briefly summarize the current 2013 ASCO top five list that we are contributing to the Choosing Wisely campaign. The first has to do with the use of very powerful and expensive anti-nausea medicines that have been introduced in recent years, specifically to help patients manage what can often be very debilitating nausea and vomiting produced by certain chemotherapy regimens and certain drugs. Now, the different kinds of chemotherapy programs are associated with different degree of nausea and vomiting. And of course, each patient is different with respect to how they tolerate chemotherapy treatments. ASCO has previously published in our guidelines a description of those chemotherapy regimens that are associated with the highest risk of severe or protracted nausea and vomiting. And we firmly believe that these potent and powerful anti-nausea drugs should be used in helping to manage the side effects from those particular regimens. However, there's been a tendency for oncologists to sort of generalize the use of these anti-nausea medicines and to use the powerful and expensive drugs even when patients are getting chemotherapy that is not likely to produce very severe nausea or vomiting. In those circumstances, it seems that the powerful anti-nausea medicines are really unnecessary. And there are other effective anti-nausea medicines that can be used to control mild or moderate nausea and vomiting that have fewer side effects or are far less expensive. So our recommendation in this area is that patients who are starting on a chemotherapy regimen that has a low or moderate risk of causing nausea and vomiting, that they should not receive the anti-nausea medicines that are intended for use with chemotherapy regimens that have a high risk of causing nausea and vomiting, and instead they should receive alternative anti-nausea therapies that are proven to be effective against the low-risk chemotherapy regimens. The second recommendation deals with the treatment of women with advanced breast cancer. And there are many, many effective chemotherapy drugs used for the treatment of advanced breast cancer. And oftentimes, physicians tend to use these drugs in combination rather than using each drug individually. Most of the available data from clinical trials indicates that the treatment of metastatic breast cancer with single drugs used sequentially is just as effective and produces fewer side effects than using combination chemotherapy regimens. The main difference being that the combination chemotherapy regimens tend to produce a faster shrinkage of the cancer, but unfortunately don't necessarily prolong the patient's survival to any greater extent than what can be achieved with single agent chemotherapy. So ASCO's recommendation is that combination chemotherapy or multiple drugs used together not be used when treating a patient with metastatic breast cancer unless the patient has such severe symptoms related to the amount of cancer present that a rapid shrinkage is determined to be necessary and beneficial for the patient. Otherwise, using single chemotherapy drugs sequentially generally produces results that are just as effective and less toxic and less risky to the patient. The third recommendation deals with the use of scanning with either CT scanning or PET scanning to follow up patients who have completed their cancer treatment, have no evidence of cancer anywhere in their body, and are asymptomatic. In such circumstances, the evidence suggests that there really is no value added to doing sequential scanning with either CT or PET, and that patients should be followed with regular clinical examination and should only be evaluated with imaging technologies if they develop new symptoms. So our recommendation really is to avoid using PET or PET and CT scanning as part of the routine follow-up of patients who have completed their cancer treatment, have no signs of cancer, and are asymptomatic. And until such time as additional evidence is developed that doing such scanning actually is beneficial to patients and will ultimately change their outcomes. At the present time, for most cancers, there's no good evidence that routine surveillance scanning, as we call it, is beneficial in earlier detection of a recurrence that can be treated effectively or in changing the patient outcomes. And these scans are associated with cost, with inconvenience, and with risk because oftentimes a scan may detect an abnormality that is not cancer, but leads the patient to undergo a number of additional tests and procedures in order to prove that the abnormality is not cancer. And those additional tests and procedures themselves can have risks and associated costs. The fourth recommendation deals with screening for prostate cancer using the PSA blood test in men who have no symptoms of prostate cancer but have significant other medical problems and a life expectancy of less than 10 years. There's a lot of controversy about the value of PSA screening for prostate cancer in general. Most studies now indicate that it is not valuable, it is not worthwhile to screen asymptomatic men with PSA testing, that doing so does not reduce overall mortality from prostate cancer. And certainly in men who have significant other medical problems, significant enough that it would limit their life expectancy to less than 10 years, the chances of detecting a prostate cancer in an asymptomatic man that is going to be a clinical problem in the remainder of their life is very, very low by doing PSA testing, and therefore ASCO recommends against doing such screening. And the final recommendation has to do with the use of many of the newer and very successful targeted therapies for treating cancer. Many of these new therapies are intended to be used when a cancer has a specific genetic abnormality that makes the cancer particularly susceptible to treatment with the targeted agent. So, for example, the cancer might have a mutation in a particular gene that makes it susceptible to being killed by a specific targeted therapy agent. And many of these agents are now being recommended for use only after a test has been done on the patient's tumor that demonstrates that a specific genetic abnormality is present. So our recommendation is pretty simple. When a targeted therapy is intended to be used only in a cancer that has a specific genetic abnormality present, that treatment should not be given if the genetic abnormality cannot be detected in the patient's cancer. Because if it is given, number one, it may not work. Number two, it will likely have side effects, and it will certainly be expensive. And there are likely to be alternative treatments that can and should be used in a patient that will be more effective. So just to summarize, you know, our goals this year in authoring this top five list have really been to try to improve the quality of care for patients with cancer, the value of the care that they receive, to be sure that the treatment that is administered is the optimal treatment for their clinical circumstance and produces the best possible results with the fewest side effects and with attention to the cost of care, so that expensive therapies that are not value added are not used unless there's a strong medical evidence supporting their use. Thanks for your attention, and there's more information available about the top five recommendations at ASCO's patient website, www.cancer.net. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Shilsky. For more details on the top five list in oncology, including what it means for patients and questions to ask your doctor about test, procedure, and treatment, visit www.cancer.net. Cancer.net is supported by the Conquer Cancer Foundation, which is working to create a world free from the fear of cancer by funding breakthrough research, sharing knowledge with physicians and patients worldwide, and supporting initiatives to ensure that all people have access to high-quality cancer care. Thank you for listening to this Cancer.net podcast.